I'm glad to be back here. I lived in Vancouver for over 18 years. I worked at Co-op Radio for almost all of that time. I also studied communications at Simon Fraser University, and my dissertation was called Communication Commons Amidst the Media Enclosures. So I'm really happy to be here for this conference, because when I was looking at that, nobody else was talking about the commons. So it's amazing that that term has now flown and taken on a lot of meaning, some of which are really, really positive, like all of the workshops that we're participating in, and some of which are not.
Yep.
For example, the World Bank is sort of bankrolling the United Nations concept of the global commons, and that's a much more pernicious use of the term, which basically means that they want to occupy resources and lands and cultures that the rest of us have created and have nurtured over many, many years.
Wow. In terms of the evolution of your own work regarding commons, how has that come along since you first started working on it?
I have to say, first I started working on it because of reading George Kafensis, who's at this conference in the Midnight Notes crew, trying to use the commons to connect the different struggles that were going on in the 1980s and the 1990s. At the time, we called them struggles around globalization, or struggles around structural adjustment programs, mm-hmm. or struggles around development. But they came up with this idea of looking at them as struggles around new enclosures. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, let me see if I can apply that to communications. And it worked. I looked primarily at radio because I was most intimately involved in radio. But since then, I've used it to look at the independent media center movements, and more recently trying to think of commons around the Occupy movements, but also commons that haven't been really written about or talked about very much, like how people in Korea are organizing both on the street and in the media, how workers in China are using communications and creating commons among themselves to organize against Foxconn and other manufacturers of Apple, other big American, well, that's a Taiwanese company, but produces American goods. And so I think it's a really good plastic term that you can use in a lot of occasions, mm-hmm. but there are some problems with it as well.
Yeah. In terms of two areas that you'd mentioned that you were looking at in terms of commons was independent media, as well as commons around Occupy. Your impressions on these two?
Okay, well, I think what I said this morning, and I want to repeat now, is that sometimes we get fixated on the media.
Yes.
And we need to think about commons and communications. And Raymond Williams, who's a wonderful English scholar, wrote that they said basically the two words have the same root, and they came out of the popular uprising against land enclosures.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
So there can't be communications without commons, real communications. And the commons, there's always a community, there's always people organizing, there's always people, even if their demands are not written out, figuring out what the goals are of the community. And there's always a system of governance and of rules, and that they're constantly revised. And that's what I love about the commons concept. In terms of applying it to independent media, mm-hmm. I think all of those values are really, really important for independent media. Mm-hmm. They're also really, really important for the Occupy movement. What I see is the problem, and some of the other speakers were talking about it this morning, is that the commons included, it's kind of like the 99%.
Uh-huh.
It included everybody but the feudal landlords, or includes everybody but the top six media companies, mm-hmm. when we're talking about the media enclosures, right? So that means there's a lot of room for differences.
Yep.
What I was trying to say this morning is we know a lot more about the dominant system, mm-hmm. about how corporate capitalism works, how the corporate media works, than we actually do about the stories of people around the world, how people use communications around the world, what's their vernacular, you were talking about that a little bit yourself, mm-hmm. what's their language, how do they communicate. And that's really the job of, I think, the independent media, is to be going directly to where the people communicate. Mm-hmm. I think the fastest way to do that, cut to the chase, is go to the struggles.
Yes.
Go to the ways that where people are organizing mm-hmm. and figure out, A, what that's about in their language, in their vernacular, mm-hmm. and then figure out how you can communicate that to other people, maybe to their allies,
yeah.
other communities that don't know them, mm-hmm. and then, as they say, speak to power, speak back to the powers that be.
Yep.
And in each, those are sometimes their steps, they're separate steps. They require separate skills, mm-hmm. and they require separate tools.
Yep.
So for the people themselves, sometimes having a radio program is great. Sometimes having a flyer, like you just showed me,
yes.
is the best thing for the community that's there on the streets.
Yep.
It wouldn't work to try and go to your allies in the union movement to take that flyer.
Yeah.
Because they'd think you're a bunch of rabble-rousers or some other kind of pejorative word, right?
Yeah.
So you might want to think of another way of communicating with them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's what I think about independent media. In terms of the Occupy, I think the streaming is wonderful. And I spent about an afternoon in New York with the streaming people, live stream people there, and talked to them about how it got organized. Mm-hmm. But I can also see that you can miss things. Some of the most important things that are going on in the Occupy movement are actually on the ground, not at the General Assemblies even, mm-hmm. but day to day, people speaking with one another who they would never speak with before. People, young African-American males in the United States speaking with older white nurses, right?
Yeah.
That hasn't happened.
Yep.
And that's an extremely important conversation. There are two groups of people who are both in struggle. In the United States, the nurses are one of the leading groups. Yep. In fact, went to Wall Street before Occupy and were demonstrating against the capital system, at least the finance system.
Yeah.
Occupy created a space where people could physically communicate with one another face to face. I haven't seen that. I've seen that in person. I haven't seen that sort of reproduced or represented in the media yet. And that kind of conversation needs to be done. But the greater point that I want to make is now we have this recognition of this idea of the majority of people are producing wealth and producing culture, and then that's being appropriated and blah, 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 up to mm-hmm. Wall Street. We need to start focusing even more so on the stories and the hearts and minds of those 99%. We need to realize there's power differences among the 99%.
Yeah.
And how do those get communicated?
Yeah. No, absolutely. One of the key things you mentioned in terms of access to this comments, in terms of media access, in terms of people being able to access media and so on, and creating that media, what do you think is the impact of producing this media, having the commons on land that is essentially occupied, the land of the First Peoples of this area?
Right. Well, in the 80s, I worked in some remote communities in Northern Ontario and Northern Labrador with Aboriginal communities. And I think that what first thing that needs to be said is that they recognized in the 1970s that they needed their own communication system.
Uh-huh.
They recognized at that time that they weren't that big on having a communication system that spoke with the rest of Canada. They mostly wanted to speak in their own local communities. They wanted support for hunting and gathering, like emergency tools, HF radio. They wanted to speak to the other bands, but this idea of having a network where they would speak on cable to white people and other Canadians was not first and foremost in their imagination. That was more came from the government. Now I think it is, mm-hmm. And there's both pros and cons, which they can tell you about. I think what I saw, and I haven't been back to Vancouver and I haven't studied it, but what I've been excited to see is the creative use of communications by communities in Aboriginal communities in struggle. So I've seen a couple of the songs that have been produced against the pipeline. You know, and that little girl, I don't know how old she is, but she's incredible. And I think, what a wonderful use of communications. So that story that needs to be told to, I mean, literally to people in the United States, to get people in the United States to go and get Obama to stop the pipeline, that's a really, really important element in that. And so I've seen it from that level. I think when we, you know, as a white settler in occupied territory, I think the most important thing is to cultivate the art and the skill of listening and of going to talk to people, and not just, as some of our brothers and sisters have been saying in the last 24 hours, not just the band council, but figure out ways to talk to different people in the different communities, both who are, you know, in formal reserves, or the majority of Aboriginal people in Canada are not in reserves. They're in Vancouver and Regina and Winnipeg and Toronto and all that kind of stuff. So it's complicated. But there are already people who've been doing media in the Aboriginal communities for two or three decades. So I think we can learn from them. I think we can learn from the youth, as the woman from Redwire was saying. I think the other thing to think about is we can learn from the people who've been reporting who are not from those communities, and we can learn that there'll be lots of mistakes made, and let's ask them what's worked, what hasn't worked, and then just realize you're going to get, I mean, what I've learned is you get egg on your face on a regular basis, and you have to learn, we're overcoming a 500-year colonial system that's not just affecting one, you know, it's affecting all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
I don't know if that helps.